Jesus, you tell us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can't see you, but you're here. So let us pause, Jesus, and let you roam this room. And Lord, I pray for those that aren't here today, but I pray for those who are, that they'll know that they didn't miss hearing from you and seeing you with their heart and responding to what you're saying to them. So Jesus, I pray that you'd roam the room. Holy Spirit, you have your will and way. And if you speak their hearts, may we respond. If there's someone here that doesn't know you, Jesus, I think of that invitation and touches my heart. Because we used to sing out when I was a little kid. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. You still do the calling. So Jesus, may you call people who don't know you to yourself. May they come willingly and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You're a Savior. I need to be forgiven. And they can ask and their sins can be forgiven. They can be washed clean, become a child of you. So Lord, if we've drifted from a faith, it's like a prodigal son. It's time to come home. So Lord, you speak today as we study your word and as you come alive right here in front of us. That Bible will be active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut right to us. Some people of the world read a verse and they never get anything from it. We can read it and it'll make us weep. I'm thankful for that, Jesus, because you let me see what you want me to see, and I see things through your eyes, and Lord, that's precious. So Lord, may you help us to see you clearer today. And we realize you're here, and I pray in the name of Almighty God, thanking you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, for being present with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray with power. He will not let you down. He will not disappoint. I've got my message coming up, but I wanted to at least, you know, if God ever lets you weep while you're reading and it's like, wow, be thankful. Not everybody sees stuff like that. And you say, well, doesn't everybody see that? No. And to me, it's sort of like you get an exclusive with Jesus. You get an exclusive with God Almighty. So those of us who have seen Him and old taste and see that the Lord is good, the Bible tells us. And today, I'll give you two quick things. I had a young man, he's a footballer, I guess, at Salem. I got him in driver's ed. He was standing there next to the door the other day, and somebody says, what's that on your arm right through here? And he said, oh, it's just, you know, and somebody says, no, what is it? So he held up, and he's got a Bible verse right there. Now, some people would have probably made fun of him, so I instantly come to his gate, and I said, yeah. They said, what is that? Well, it talks about, and I said, that's a Bible verse. See, I was speaking to the one that was questioning him, and suddenly this guy with the Bible verse, his eyes sort of light up. Why? Because I'm on his side. I said, well, that's a Bible verse. I'm speaking to, like, if Chris would have said, what's that on your arm? I looked and I said, what's a Bible verse? He said, well, it talks about the Lord being my strength. I said, oh, that's Psalms 27. He said, they said, well, where's that in the Bible? He said, I can't, right off, I don't remember. I said, it's Psalms 27:1. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the light of my salvation. What have I have to fear? He said, yeah, that's it. Made him suddenly feel better. Isn't that cool? Here's that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's got the Lord is the strength of my life on there. And I thought that was cool that somebody was about to maybe make fun of him. And then these three boys, and I'm sitting there. Makes me sort of weak. One of them in the middle said, well, I know a Bible verse. I know John 3:16. Now, you could have been ugly like the world is. Everybody knows that. I said, well, what's it say? Just keep in mind. For God so loved the world, here's 25 people standing in a class. I'm standing in the door. Do you think anybody hears this? Hmm. Well, that's John 3:16. I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I said, that's the verse that Tim Tebow put under his eyes, John 3:16, got about 3.4 million people looked it up while they were playing at a bowl game one time. People were like, wow, that's cool. Yeah, God wants you to know he loves you. Oh, it's time to go. I guess the bell rings. Y'all go ahead. They're probably walking out going, what was that? That's a God thing. So God shows up in the most unusual places. Jarvis Head classroom. Jenny's always thinking I'm going to get fired. I don't think so. If I do, I'm going to preach. Go, that's for sure. God saying it, God will save you. You know, just give them that. I'll be fired 5 minutes later, but at least I'll go out in a blaze of glory. Of course, can you imagine on the news? Man preaches and is fired. How would that make Salem look? Yeah, they don't want me in there. Only way you can use God's name is if you curse. You know, that's what it seems like, isn't it? And then Susan, you're a blessing to me. Everybody knows Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Y'all know that one. I like Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Wow. But Susan reminded me of this. Psalm 22 says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who said that? Of course, this is the psalmist David writing it. How did he do that? Jesus has given David the wisdom to know, to predict, to foreshadow what's going to happen. What do you think David was like? I bet you tears kept blotting his page. Because David, the Bible tells us, he's a man after God's own heart. And God says, write these words. And David, the psalmist, starts to write and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? He probably said, God, who are we talking about? And he says, that's my... Isaac would later say, and a virgin shall conceive. Here is Jesus speaking, even though he's not in the Old Testament, so to speak. He's not... But listen to this verse. I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men, despised by people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults at me, shake their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord save him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. See, that's Jesus, because later on the cross, remember they said, if you're God, save yourself. Come down from the cross and save yourself. He said he was scorned by men, despised by people. They mocked him. Remember they pressed the crown of thorns into his head. Verse 12 says, many bulls surround me. People are all around me. Pharisees, like, I think might as well have been fangs of venom spitting at him from a viper. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouth wide against me. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. The Bible says he never broke a bone, but he what? He had some dislocated. I'm sure. My heart has turned to wax. Ooh, it has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. Can't even get a breath out. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. By the way, where's Jesus when he writes it? He's on the cross. You think you get thirsty? My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You'll lay me in the dust. Jesus, well, the next verse leaves no doubt. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Who do you think it is? I can count on my bones. Why? I think some of them are protruding. I think they've ripped his back, whipping him so much that you can see ribs. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouths of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. You say, well, is that Jesus? Yes, that's just the way David writes. But my, if you ever feel like, does God love me? I think that takes away any question of that. You know he does. We can have freedom in Christ. That's my message for today. Jesus paid my fare. I don't know anybody in here that wouldn't mind this. You get up to go pay at a restaurant and somebody says, oh, somebody's paid your bill already. Wow. You're free to go. I get freedom in Christ, so I've tried to put a few messages for you, a few verses together. What do you think of when you think of the word freedom? You don't have to do something anymore. What if you came home and you said, Chris is going to do the chores, and Carrie says, I've already done all the chores. Well, I'm going to help you fix dinner. Dinner's already fixed. Well, I'm going, hey, it's already done, and work called, and you don't have to work tomorrow. How would you feel, Chris? Elated? Then he would pinch himself. Yeah, because he's obviously dreaming. What if I said all your sins have been paid for already? Well, I'll be baptized. Makes no difference. I mean, it's a great thing to do. I'll tithe. Great thing to do. But it's not, no, I'll speak in tongues. No. What do I have to do to get to heaven? Just need to receive. I picture this. Jesus has thrown the ball. All you need to do is what? I didn't throw it. I don't have anything to do with that football. All I need to do is catch it. Henry Nouwen gives a good example of that. He says, I'm like the person on a trapeze, you know, and I jump off my trapeze, and here comes Jesus hanging upside down. What's he going to do? He's going to catch me. What can I do to catch? I can't catch myself. Henry Nouwen's going to grab my hands. You know, he says, Jesus grabs my hands. I love that analogy. Henry Nouwen says, Jesus is just the guy on the other trapeze. He grabs you. He catches you. What do you think of when you think of freedom? Well, on this day today, we probably would think of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You remember what that day was? It was July the 4th, 1776, but some people missed that. They were fishing or something, I don't know what. I mean, it's not like they were changing history or anything. So some people weren't even there, and so I think later on August the 2nd, they showed up and decided at the Second Continental Congress that they would sign it. So on August 2nd, 1776, Congress members signed the Declaration. A declaration of freedom, a declaration of independence. Not every man who had been present on July the 4th signed the declaration on August the 2nd. So two important officials passed up a chance to sign it. Others were added in later. First and largest signature was who? John Hancock. Do y'all remember that? My daddy used to say, let me put my John Hancock on that. Yeah, you've heard that before. And he signed it. His name was the biggest, largest signature. It was also the first. I think people were probably intimidated, like, I don't want to sign my name that big. You ever signed somebody's yearbook in high school, you know, like you sign over here and they take a microscope. What did you write? You know, some people just, other people, blah, things. You took up two pages. What did you do that for? And you wrote on my face, too. What? You know, why did you do that? Well, that was a joyful day, right? The mood in the room was far from celebratory. Everyone was aware of what they were undertaking. It was an act of high treason against the British crown that could cost each man his life. Recalling the day many years later, Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration of Independence and a leader in Philadelphia, wrote about how awful and silent the House was as each member was called up one after the other to the table of the President of Congress. There they signed what was believed at that time to be their own. So if I said right now and said, I need y'all, here's a pen, y'all just come up when you sign this to become a slave to Jesus. Now, he counts as his children. But if you're going to be a slave, let's be a slave to righteousness, not sin, right? But if I said, okay, here's a pen, you want to sign your name from then on, we're sort of like this. Chris, you're going to be independent of the old Chris. You're going to be somebody new. But what do you think the world looks at? We kill you. You get on my nerves talking about God. That's what it's going to be. So when you sign this, just remember you're opening yourself up to what? Attacks, ridicule. Sure you want to sign this? And you notice what they said? Some people didn't sign it. I didn't sign that. British come over here and they'll say, you bunch of renegades, I'm going to kill all of you. I ain't going to sign that. Well, nobody would deny, really. Now, Simon Peter, what did he do? Simon Peter denied Jesus. What do you think he did that for? Because he probably thought people were going to kill him. You know Jesus. No, I don't. later he wept and wished he hadn't, and he turned out okay. He got forgiveness of that. And in Acts, he preached messages where 3,000 people were saved. But at the time, the room was somber. So I don't know what you really picture. So again, maybe you picture this. That's George Washington crossing the Delaware. Now, don't get, don't hate George Washington and all them, but you say, were these guys Navy SEALs, Army Rangers? Yeah. They went across icy cold waters like Army Rangers to surprise the British on Christmas night to kill them in their sleep. You don't want to mess with this group right here. They were out. They thought, I would have just, told the British, don't y'all do that anymore. Yeah, that's not going to work that way. It's either be killed or be killed, I think. Maybe you think of the Statue of Liberty, which stands for so much for some people there in Ellis Island. I think of this, putting that flag down. It cost a lot of lives to put that flag down. Maybe you just think of the flag. I'm not sure what you think of, but what do you think of when you think of the word freedom? Let me suggest a word for you to contemplate. Here's what I think of redemption. If I'm free, I've been redeemed. Now, here's my old, you say, Edgar, you've got so many stories. I guess it's because I'm so old. Here's what I think of redemption. I think S&H Green Stamps. I even know what S&H is, Speary and Hutchison Company. When I was a little kid, we'd go to some place, Food Line. They gave green stamps. Our Kroger's gave TV stamps. They were yellow. But you could save up enough of these stamps, you save up about 8,000 books and get you a van. I mean, they used to have everything. You could get furniture for your house. So I thought it was cool. So we used to save these little things. Then I get the job as a little kid to lick them. that glue after a Some people addicted to cocaine. I was addicted to Speary and Hutchison glue on the back of their stamp. Got to have some of that glue. No, I wasn't. I hated the taste of it. I'd lick it and, they'd end up hopefully in the book, and you'd save some of them ended up on the wall. You could get anything in that. After collecting stamps for a while, we would then take them to the Redemption Center. Don't you remember that? We'd take these stamps to the Redemption Center. One of ours was in Pulaski County. Looked a little bit unlike that one. That's pretty fancy, this one. And I walked through the doors, and it looked like this, and Mark says he could get a fishing pole there. You can get linens. You can cookware, crock pot, bicycle. Some people, you can actually get a car, bedroom furniture. But I got something that day, and I thought I'll bring it even though it makes me. I got to try not to cry when I do it, but I told my mama that I wanted a tennis racket. This is it. So my mama got this for me. 8.5 books of green stamps. That's a lot. They're roughly about $3 or $4 worth a piece. So 8 times 3, 24. Back in the day of Giles, we could buy $1.95 racket. Of course, it looked like a snow shovel after a while because it was a bow so much like this. But Mama said, do you want that? Well, I don't want it. No. Do you want it? Yeah. You want it? Yes, ma'am. We'll get it. So we go into Redemption Center, and I hunt me up a tensor steel racket that's been restrung a few times, and the grip, as you can tell, is good. And every time I'd play tennis, I'd think of somebody. So my 8.5 books of green stamps, I beat some people with this. Now, I can still remember at Radford College one time I was playing tennis. You always spin it in your hand like this. I was taking a class, and there I was wearing a pair of sweats, probably cost $3, and 8.5 book green stamps. People would have laughed at me. And this guy got on the court, and he said, you get to play so-and-so today. And I went, He sat down two bags. It'd slide in the pocket. You'd pull it out like he was unzip that. He had two bags, Yonex rackets. Those Yonex rackets, about $175 to string it. Mine's tournament nylon. His was cat gut. That's about $30. So he's got two rackets, probably $200. Got on his sweat. I'm cool. And I'm thinking I'm going to take him on with 8.5 books of green stamps. But this is not just 8.5 books of green. So I'm sitting there. As you know, you got the baseline on a tennis court. You go up about 8 feet, and then you got the little box that they serve in. I went up and stood in the box. You say, you are crazy. I got a plan. I'm standing in the box. He got ready to serve. He went, you better back up. I said, well, I will when you get it in. So he's going to cut me in half with this. Ooh, right into the net. Right into the net again. Ooh, went over to the other side. I won the first game off of him defaulting. I never had to hit it. He just kept serving into the net because he was so mad at me taking him for granted that I was standing in the box. And normally I'd have been back here on the baseline, but I would have never seen it. So I'm standing in the box, and I think it intimidated him, and I beat him with 8.5 books of green stamps. And when he walks off with his $200 Yonex rackets and the Adidas sweats and everything else, I think, you know, you can look good all you want to, but unless you got 8.5 books of green stamps. Of course, every time he would serve, I'd be facing this. I'd turn around and go, oh. Thought if he hits that one more time, one of them clears the net, it's probably going to take. There's my 8.5 books of green stamps. Now you know why I love my mama so much, she'd say. She probably passed up a set of dishes for the house. See if you can sing this. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Anybody ever heard that song before? And Jesus goes to you, and He doesn't have 8.5 books of green stamps. He took Himself. Another way to look down, look at this, is this. It's a slave block. They finally removed it 2 years ago. It's in Fredericksburg. It was 176 years old. Stone. This is stone right here. Weighed 800 pounds. They would have people stand on there and basically auction them off. That's a slave block. But see, I see that. I see something else. I was on that block one time. So see, I was a slave to sin. And you got this crowd bidding, and one guy named Satan bids pretty high. 1,000, somebody else, 2,000, 5,000, 1,000. And all at once in the back of the crowd says, I'll give you me. I'll give you my life for His. And I turn and it's Jesus. Satan can't compete with that. So I step down off this slave block and go through the crowd. There's three different words. I won't get into all that Greek stuff. But there's three words. One of them means to purchase something. I like the second way it's used. One of them means to purchase you and then let you go. See, I could buy Chris as a slave, take him home, work him to death. That's not the way Jesus did me. He buys me, and I'm coming behind him, and I said, Jesus, what can I say? You bought me. He says, you're free to go. You do what you want to. You bought me to let me go? Now, hopefully, I'll go ahead and follow him anyway. You do realize that's what we have the choice right here. He buys you off his block. Satan bids high, but Jesus outbids him because he gives himself. I step down off that. Jesus gets me, and I'm going through the crowd, and he says, you don't have to follow me if you don't want to, but I want to. Okay. You realize what he bought you from? He got you out of hell. You might want to say thanks to him. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? By no means, God forbids what the King James says. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. People say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. I hope you pledge allegiance to Jesus. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So just think, when I step off this, Jesus comes over and says three words. You're free. You are free. Stephen Curtis sings that song, Remember Your Chains. And he tells this story about, he said, I couldn't help but wonder what he was feeling. I should have did that song today. As he stared out in the darkness in the sky, seems he was taking his last look at freedom with a hopeless longing look in his eye. There were chains on his hands and chains on his feet. He saw a person, a prisoner. And that reminded, you know, that brought memories to me because I ever flew a plane. I was at Colorado Springs. Maybe you've heard of that. Colorado Springs, Colorado. We fly into that airport to go see Andy and Lindsay and Jimmy. First time I ever got on a plane. I'm a little 9-year-old, and they put me on that plane. I'm like, well, this is cool. Had my Zebco fishing rod and my sleeping bag coming back from the navigators. At Zebco, I might have got that with green stamps. I can't remember. But anyway, I was sitting on that, and this man come on, chains on his hand, chains on his hand. He'd went AWOL, and the Army was bringing him back. And they set him down in a seat. And when Stephen Curtis sings, there were chains on his hands, chains on his feet. I looked back and I thought, that's a guy. And I flew to Denver. We couldn't have been in the air more than 20 minutes. But I can still remember that guy. And so when I hear Stephen Curtis sings, he says, remember your chains. But at the end of that verse, he'll say, remember your chains are gone. I'm on here and I get off in shackles and Jesus comes over and unlocks him. He says, you're free to go. What would you do? Shackles drop and Jesus walks away. And you, wait, I want to come follow you. And the devil's over there going, thought I had another one. By the way, we can be slaves to a lot of things. You agree? Slaves to alcohol, slaves to drugs, slaves to addictions, slaves to... God will still set you free. The bondage breaker. Might as well give Jesus the title. He can break bondage. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Once God saves me, don't go back to the thing that kept you a slave for so long. Now, once saved, I believe the Bible teaches us, once saved, we're always saved. You say, oh, that's somebody telling me that's a damnable heresy. What are you talking about? Read the book. Jesus saves me forever, eternally, everlasting. How long is that? 2 weeks? What if I told Jenny, I love you forever? Or until a good-looking woman comes along and, oh, give me a dental appointment. What if you told them, I'll be on this football team forever? Or until I get tired of it. Jesus, I'll save you forever. Or until I won't smack you. No, he doesn't. He says, I'll say, let me give you this. I said this to somebody the other day, and they were looking for eternal security, I believe. I said, picture this, the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody heard of the Eternal Book of Life? And I asked Jesus when I was 8 years old, Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, save my soul? He said, I hadn't done anything wrong. I didn't do drugs or stole a car or anything. I was only 8, but I was still a sinner. And so Jesus, I had to believe him and receive him. I believed in God. And don't just believe and stop there. You're halfway. Because the demons in hell, James says, the demons in hell believe in God and they shudder. Every time he's casting out demons out of the demonic, Gennesaret's demoniac, the guy that had many demons, his name was Legion, and the demons called out and said, oh, son of God. See, they know who he is. They said, have you come to torture us before the time? What's the time? Hell. So here's people that say, oh, here's demons. Say, oh, son of God, have you come to get us for hell? They believe in God and believe in hell. You got people in the world that don't even do that. Demons got more faith than a lot of people do. It's like, oh, God, I know you're going to get us. One day, yes. But not today. So here is... halfway home, I believe in God. Well, then you got to receive God. Remember, he's throwing the pass. You just got to catch. You didn't throw the pass. You don't even have a football. You're the guy on the trapeze. Like, God, I caught you. Oh, if it wasn't for him, I'd be lost. So I asked Jesus to save me when I was 8 years old. He saved me. You think I've been perfect ever since? No. Do you ever think as I grew up through high school, let me lean over here, and if I'm not careful, I start to go back and I start to do things I used to. Now, I don't have to get saved all over again. I'm saved once. I was born out of my mom's womb once. But I can be born again. And then once I'm born again, now, you think Simon Peter, he was a sailor, a fisherman. You ever think he let loose a cuss word? Yeah. Bound to. How about after he got saved? Yeah. You mean people in the Bible cuss? Now, should we sin? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? No, don't say, oh, can I go sin now that I'm saved? No, by all means, God forbid that. Just don't let the devil try to put that yoke on you again. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So, can I go do anything I want to now that I'm saved? Yes, I can. But I don't want to sin. I know it hurts him. So when you get up, just picture this. You're on the sin block, and God got you off of that block. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there you go. My July the 4th message. God saves us and sets us free. There's the demonic legion. Jesus cast the demons out and saved him. They come out and found him. Instead of naked and screaming and running around the graveyard, they found him clothed in his right mind. So let's look at the story about Paul and Silas. And I'm just going to barely mention these, but I just want to show you. And you say, well, give us something that happened later in the Bible, out of the Gospels. Okay. Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 16, Paul and Silas are not enjoying freedom at this time, but they helped two people find freedom. Where are Paul and Silas at? They're in prison. So don't dare sit there and say, but God can't use me. Paul and Silas are in jail. And what really gets me is they're in jail and it's about midnight. And there it shows you it's hope for me and Jenny yet. We go to bed about that time. Here I guess other people stay up till midnight too. Paul and Silas are in jail. And chapter 16, I like this. Verse 16, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. Now see, there's a slave. She needs freedom. She needs to visit the redemption center. See, when you walk in the redemption center, Jesus is there. I got 3.5, but no, we don't need any books. No. Everything in the store is free. Salvation. Really? I can redeem you. This girl needs to go visit the redemption center. She's a slave girl. She's not controlled by drinking. She's not controlled by sexual habits. She's not controlled by some kind of addiction. She's controlled. She has a demon. And because of that demon, she's able to predict the future. And people being ugly and rude and mean and everything else use this girl for profit. Want your fortune told? Go ahead, Linda, Marie, Karen, Jan, I'm making it us because we could have been that person. Go ahead, Edgar, tell her fortune. And I do it because of the power through Satan. Well, Paul and Silas come along and they mess everything up. They get the girl saved. Demon's out of her. She can't predict the future anymore. That doesn't go along well with the people who are making money. So they want to beat Paul and Silas up, and they do, and they toss them into prison. That's why they're in jail. Crowd attacked them. And then you say, well, that was over. A woman who was demon-possessed and a Philippian jailer who was caught by surprise. So they win a woman to the world, win a woman out of the world, win the woman. They won the woman out of the world. She was demon-possessed. She gets saved and she leaves her life of being demon-possessed. She can no longer predict future, they toss them in jail. Now, while they're in jail, they don't lose their hope. They keep on running. Paul and Silas never run out of ammunition. They just, you know, they just reload real quick. And now they're in the same mind. They got them in stocks. And as I understand it, when they put you in stocks, you're almost distorted. Your limbs are twisted. It's not this, hey, you know, like they do the movies. You're probably strung at an odd angle. And yet these guys are sitting there, oh, praise the Lord, just singing along, praying. I bet you some of the prisoners are going. It's how you look at that person at work when they're saying praise the Lord and they're singing. And you go, I like to just smack it. He's so happy. Isn't God good? Shut up. Well, you weaned on prune juice all your life? How about smiling every once in a while? I come out of seventh period one day and I'm, and somebody says, how can you whistle at the end of the day? What do you want me to do? Throw a book across the room like you do? I mean, why'd you ever decide to teach? I had a guy tell me this one time. He said, I love teaching. I just can't stand the kids. Doctor. Love being a doctor. I hate sick people. Well, you're going to get physicals all your life. It's going to get old then, isn't it? They're in there singing. There's an earthquake. Cell door comes open. And the Philippian jailer knows the penalty. If his prisoners escape, he dies. So he's about to run himself in with a sword. Paul says, wait, we're all here. Put the sword away. Why didn't y'all take off? We will. We'll leave in a while. But you go ahead and put that sword up. He drops his knees and he says the famous verse right here. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, speak in tongues. No, they didn't. Start tithing. Send me some money in the mail. And no, he doesn't. He gives them flat out good advice. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied in verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, explained it to him. It's more than just believing. You got to trust him. You got to receive him to all the others in the house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. You think it's been a change in the jailer? These are the people he beat 2 hours ago. Now he's washing their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized as an outward show of what's happened inside. Jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before him. Can you imagine a phone call? Honey, I'm bringing some people home from work. Who are they? Well, there's some prisoners. But they told me about Jesus and I got saved. Oh, glorious day. And so he goes home, the whole family gets saved. Isn't that cool? Oh, happy day. Oh. And they're just singing. Kids are going, Papa, come home a brand new man. Daddy used to come home, cuss us out, smack Mom, and you were so rude and ugly, now you're crying. I'm a changed man. Little kid's going, wow, good to see you, Dad. Jailer brought him into the house, and the jailer set a meal before him, feeding him. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. I guess he had experienced what? Freedom. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that in the Bible they get so, we're just given so many stories of freedom. So thank you, Jesus, today for the girl that used to make a profit by predicting the future, and everybody loved her while she was doing that because they were getting rich. But it was more important to you to send your messengers, Paul and Silas, to speak to her heart. And she saw her need, and she was set free from the old way of life. And then you didn't stop there. Then you used him to work on a Philippian jailer's heart who was hardened, I'm sure, who beat people, never give it a second thought, but that night his life changed. So Jesus, today, I'm thankful for the reminder of freedom. And so Jesus, you set me free when I was just a little boy. And I'm thankful for that, grateful that you've always loved me and always stayed faithful. May we never get over the day we got saved. And yet, Jesus, we sometimes want to go back over and start doing the same things we used to when we were a slave. And you just sort of shake your head at that, wondering why would we want to go back and be who we used to be. So, Lord, remind us that you've set us free. And if a man be in Christ, he shall be free indeed. So forgive us, cleanse us, and speak to our hearts even right now. Draw us close to you. James 4:8 says, if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. So help us to draw close to you. And Lord, if we got things that are sort of enslaving us right now, if we've got habits that aren't good for us to grow in you, Lord, help us to be right now reminded of that and say, Lord, I want to give them up. Help us to give you things that'll free us to grow better and to be more free in you. So Lord, speak to our hearts, I pray even now. Speak to my heart, speak to the hearts of my friends here. Now Lord, whatever you brought to mind, help us to lay it on the altar to say, Jesus, you take that. I don't need it. I want to be free indeed. So Lord, our freedom began when we asked you into our heart and asked you to be our Savior. And our freedom continues as we give up things that we don't need. And the Bible says one day when we see you, we will be like you. Well, help us to be so much like you that doesn't call for too many changes once we see you, because we've learned to keep giving things up and keep drawing close until we're just stepping in your footsteps. Thank you for my church family. In Jesus' name, amen.